Isaiah 32, verse number 17, and we'll read 18. He said, "The work of righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be what?
Peace.
Peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Hallelujah. "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation." Hallelujah. And he already said what that is. It's in righteousness. "A peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Praise the Lord. I don't know about your house. I haven't been to many people's houses, but my house is a place. It's a peaceful habitation. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure many of you are contending for that as well. So the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Say that out loud. The work of righteousness and the effect of righteousness. You know, righteousness has an effect on people. Go over to the 45th. We're gonna come back to Isaiah 32. But go to Isaiah 54. I said 45. I meant 54. Isaiah 54 and verse number 14. I always put these two verses together because there's another truth brought into this subject in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. It says in verse 14, "In righteousness shalt thou be established." Now let me say something about that. We are made, you and I as believers, are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We wasn't something we earned. We were made the righteousness of God. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, and we might be made.
Yes. Amen.
Not earned, but made the righteousness of God. And then we walk in the light of that and live right because that's who we are. But the effect, well, no, he said here, in righteousness shalt thou be established. He's talking about the renewing of the mind to righteousness. Being established in a truth, a Bible truth. Amen. One verse in the New Testament says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." He didn't say stop sinning and become righteous. He said, "Wake up to the fact you are the righteousness of God, and that'll make you stop sinning."
Amen.
Awake to righteousness is a similar thought as this verse here in Isaiah 54, where it talks about being established in righteousness. A man who's established in righteousness is renewed in his mind to the fact that he is the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's one thing to be made it. It's another thing to know it.
Yeah.
And it's another thing to be established in it. And it's another thing because you're established in it, your mind is renewed to it. It's another thing to walk in the privileges of righteousness.
Yeah.
You can be and are, if you're born again, the righteousness of God, but yet without being established in the reality of it through revelation of the Word, through the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you cannot benefit from the privileges of it. You understand what I'm talking about? Like if somebody put $1 million in your bank account, but you weren't aware of it. Well, you wouldn't walk in the privileges of that. Right? But that's the way righteousness is. It's already so. You don't have to become righteous, and you don't become more righteous the more you walk with God. Because the Bible says, like in Romans 1, 16 and 17, or verse 17 specifically, therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You don't become more righteous from faith to faith, but you get more revelation of the fact that you are righteous from faith to faith. And the more revelation you get and the more faith you mix with your righteousness, the more that you get to walk in the privileges of it.
Amen.
And it has an effect on you. You see that in verse 30 or chapter 32, verse 17, Isaiah, it says it has an effect on you, the effect, the work of righteousness.
Yes.
And the effect and the work of righteousness is a result of being established in the truth of righteousness. Amen. So with that in mind, come back to the 32nd chapter again, the work of righteousness, the effect of righteousness. And so the knowledge of righteousness is to have an effect. It will have an effect on you, and it will do a work for you.
Yes.
Amen. Did you know righteousness was given to you to do a work?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So, but here's the effect, and here's the work. If you look closely, he said quietness and peace.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. How many of you know it's not right for believers to be all worked up and anxious, fretting, wringing their hands, worried, thinking and meditating on what the doctor said, the lawyer said, the banker said, whatever, whoever said?
Yeah.
Amen. Quietness means undisturbed. It means you become settled. You settle down. It means you become still. You're no longer frantic. Right? You don't take trouble into your thought life. You don't take anxiety in. Like Jesus said, take no thought saying. You could add the word worried thought. Don't take a worried thought saying. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Talking about the needs of life. Talking about the troubles others are going through. You know, the devil is, he wants you to be his pack mule. And if there's nothing going on, you know, with his weighed down with his stuff, his care and all that. And if there's nothing going on in your life to worry about, he'll be sure and bring somebody else's cares along and get you worried about them.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on now.
You're not the devil's pack mule.
Amen.
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 So knowing that you're righteous before God, it settles a man's busy mind down. It slows him down, settles him down. He's no longer struggling. He's no longer anxious. He is settled down. And what used to chase his mind around, harass his mind, how the enemy used to harass his mind and chase his thoughts around, that doesn't happen anymore.
All right.
Because he's established in righteousness, which means condemnation can't chase him around. Yeah, all the failures of the past can't chase his mind around, make him anxious. And listen, whenever trouble arises in a man's life, those troubles don't cause him to go sin conscious. If he's established in righteousness, the trouble that happens doesn't make him go, I don't know, I guess God doesn't love me, and I guess, you know, I've missed it so many times, and God's not going to do this for me this time. Because the devil's always there saying, yeah, he's not going to come through this time. It's not going to work this time. You're going to fail this time.
Come on.
To let that get to you is rooted in sin consciousness.
Yes. Come on.
Righteousness conscious doesn't go all negative and all, you know, the mind doesn't go to failure and get all troubled. Amen. So we're growing in we're growing in righteousness consciousness. Amen. We're getting out of sin consciousness. Scrub that from the tape. We're growing in righteousness consciousness. Praise God. And so, so what does righteousness mean? I mean, if you're becoming renewed in your thinking to the right standing you have with God, what does it mean? It means no more struggle.
Yeah, no more struggle.
Hallelujah. Can you see that? Especially when you're established in it. So whenever he goes on in verse number 18 and says, my people will dwell in peaceable habitations, you can see there he's talking about a dwelling place. Oh, I love this. A dwelling place, that righteousness is a dwelling place.
Yes.
And it is a place of peace. When your mind is all filled with righteousness and the realities of it from the Word, your mind stays at peace, even in troubled times. In other words, you remember the book of Psalm 23, it talks about, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's a table prepared in the presence of our enemies, but in the presence of those enemies, righteousness has a posture of enjoying all that is on the table.
Yes.
And it's not focused on the enemies.
Come on.
Oh, if you come to church and help me out, I'll get some good utterance tonight. I know you've already come and you're believing God, right? So there's a dwelling place that you can live in, I like that. I saw this today. There, he puts verse 17 and verse 18 together and talks about the peace that righteousness has, or being established in righteousness. And then he talks about this peaceable habitation.
Yes. Yes.
This place you can live in, this place of peace, because you're established in righteousness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so it's a peaceful dwelling place for a man to live, especially on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? When I say on the inside, in other words, you're not troubled and anxious on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, some people can smile real good on the outside, but they're still troubled on the inside because their mind is troubled. The enemy's harassing them and chasing them around with wrong thoughts.
Come on.
Thoughts of failure, thoughts of condemnation,
yeah.
Thoughts of the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So, but really, where is this place of peace? Look over there again in Isaiah 54. I like this verse. We missed something. We didn't read the second part of it. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression.
Yes. Glory to God.
Who's thou? The man who's established in righteousness.
Yes.
Far from oppression. In other words, he's not living right down on Grumble Alley right next to oppression. He's living far from oppression.
Yes.
Woo! Praise God. So where is this peaceful dwelling place? Far from oppression. Nowhere close to oppression. Amen. Some people live real close to oppression. In other words, just a little bit of a bad report and they're back over in oppression. What does he mean, oppression? Keep on reading. And thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, that's part of oppression, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Amen. So oppression includes fear, includes terror, worry, anxiety, all those kinds of things. But how many of you know, if you're established in righteousness, you can live at a far, far away place from that. In other words, it's not something that visits you very often because it's such a long journey for it to get to you. Far from oppression. Far from oppression. Now, I like what it says in Philippians 4:7 in the Amplified Classic. I think you remember first verse number 6. You remember, the Amplified says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, remember, let the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep garrison, mount guard. This is the Amplified Classic. Mount guard over your heart and mind. So this dwelling place of righteousness is a garrisoned place.
Yes. Yes.
There are troops of peace all around it.
Yes.
There are peace soldiers.
Yes.
Standing all around this place. You know, that's a big deal whenever you live in the United States. You don't think that much about it, but like just having come from Nigeria, Pastor Ike lives behind a kind of a gated house. I mean, the community's gated as well. You have to go through a guy that checks your ID to get in out at the gate along the street. But then his house has a gate too. Now, you might say, well, what's he living so uppity for? Because Nigeria is different than the United States. That's not uppity over there. That's just smart when you got kids and a family. Right? So, but anyway, that gate and that garrison, it gives you some protection from thieves, which is big over there. Thieves and fraud and corruption and all kinds of stuff over there. Things you and I don't even think about. But it's a daily thing over there. So, but that garrison place, that place of protection, there's some security behind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you don't sleep with your shotgun across your lap. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well.
Now, I'm just a country boy, all right? They shut me down. Okay, I'm going to come over here. Any country people over here? But you're able to rest because it's a garrison protected place. Amen. And that's the place you are to live in. And you're not all troubled and anxious on the inside. It's really mentioned in Psalm 91. Remember, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Then verse 7 and 8 in the Amplified talks about that you are behind, in this place, in this secret place. The Amplified Classic talks about you are inaccessible.
Yes.
You see with your eyes what's going on to others, but you yourself are inaccessible in this secret place. This is a place where you're kept, you're protected. Even your mind and your heart are protected. Because Philippians 4:7 talks about garrisoning your heart and your mind. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a safe place to live. It's a peaceful place. And it's a result of being established in righteousness. And then Matthew 11:29, you remember, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Verse 9 says, you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. When the Amplified talks about rest for your souls, he talks about in the Amplified Classic that you'll find, where's the verse here? I got it written here somewhere. You'll find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Oh, I like that. Rest. You want to read that again?
Yes.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yep.
Rest, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls.
Amen.
That's the kind of soul that God's provided for you.
Amen. That's so good.
Peaceful. It's not stressed out. We're not supposed to be living like the world. Well, I'm stressed out about the election. Quit it!
Yeah.
You're hindering the election.
Yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was somebody out there that needed that. Nobody here is doing that, right? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Don't be chased around by the 24-hour news cycle.
Thank you.
Amen. You use your faith and you go take your nap.
That's right.
Praise God. All right, so... Matthew 29 there, you see that, and that's that peaceable dwelling place that he's talking about. That's far from oppression that he's talking about. Now, let's look into this a little bit. Notice here this word, the work of righteousness. I want to dig into this because the Lord was showing me this afternoon, and this is going to bless you.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, don't go to sleep because you're about to get something.
Don't go to sleep.
The work of righteousness shall be peace.
Yes.
And the effect of righteousness. So the word work is talking about, really, he's talking about laboring. Righteousness is laboring to do a work in you. It's laboring to do something beautiful in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. The word work literally means in the Hebrew workmanship. It's a prod, something that's produced. It literally means handiwork, artwork, needlework, or something made.
Yeah.
Now, when I read handiwork,
yeah,
needlework, artwork,
yeah,
I don't think of a rough carpenter. Nope. I think of somebody that's yeah, able to finish.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
you should have seen the guy that did these, these wood panels up here. You should have seen him. I mean, that all looks real nice and woody, but it's all paint.
Yeah.
It's wood, of course, but it's not real. He did all that, the wood strokes here. That looks like a real nice piece of wood there. It's all paint.
Yeah. Yep.
It actually got featured in a national publication. Did you know this? This set got featured in a national publication because of the skill this man put into this.
Amen.
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 So, but that's called handiwork.
Amen.
The rough carpentry was, creating all the panels and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when he talks about the work of righteousness, he's talking about the Hebrew word literally means handiwork,
yeah,
finish work. I mean, God is doing a beautiful work,
yeah,
in your life through renewing your mind to righteousness. You used to be a basket case. I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of us need to. You used to be a basket case. Everything that came up, worried. I'm so worried. I'm popping pills and trying to go to bed at night, trying to get some sleep. But knowledge of righteousness moved you so far away from that,
yeah,
that people don't even recognize you.
Yeah. Yeah.
The work that he did in your life and is doing in your life is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're peaceful, you're quiet, you're assured in the presence of your enemies. Woo. I mean, not just when everything's going good, but in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of lack, in the presence of need, in the presence of pressure, in the presence of, threatening to lay you off.
Yeah.
In the presence of a bad report.
Yeah.
People, if you practice peace correctly, and you live in this peaceful dwelling place correctly, because you're established in righteousness, people will say, bless his darling heart. Maybe he has a fever. He doesn't even realize. He doesn't even realize the stuff that's going on in his life. I know what's going on in his life. And look at him.
Mm-hmm.
Not stressed out, not anxious.
Come on.
Woo.
Glory.
What a handiwork. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And so that's the work of righteousness. It's a beautiful thing. You're not living frazzled anymore. Praise the Lord. All right. So, but look at this here. And then he says, he goes on to say, then the effect of righteousness. Did you see that? The effect of righteousness. The word effect, like I said, I was just studying on this. It's so good.
Yes, sir.
This is going to get better as it goes.
Good.
The word effect, again, means work of any kind. But here's what it goes on to say. It literally means a bondservant or a worker or someone in servitude. In other words, it personifies it as a person almost. And so read it that way. Righteousness, the effect of righteousness, or righteousness has bondservants. You'll get this as I go.
Yeah.
In other words, there are things assigned to work for you in the position of righteousness.
That's good.
Yeah.
Righteousness is a position.
Yeah.
Are you still glad you came tonight? It's a position. And there are things assigned to serve you in that position. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Think about Romans 5:17. They that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. See, it's a gift. It's not something earned. The gift of righteousness. They what? Reign. In life.
Yes.
They reign in life. What is that saying? Righteousness has put you in a position of reigning.
That's so good.
You see that?
Yeah.
Like most other translations add the word like a king.
Yeah.
Praise God. So righteousness and kings have things that serve them. They have people that serve them. They have whole systems set up. To serve them, to feed them, to transport them, to you know, get messages to different departments or the different regions of their domain or something like that. All sorts of systems set up, people working for them. They're serving that position. And you, in righteousness, God has assigned some things to work for that position. It has bond servants. Woo, glory be to God. So every position has things that serve that position.
Yes.
Like if you're a manager at your work, they're going to give you computers, certain access to certain places of in certain software. They're going to give you all kinds of things to lead that department, right? Telephone system, a certain office, you know, all kinds of things to serve that position. They're really serving the position. You didn't get it until you got into that position.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily serving you, but they are because you're in that position.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's what righteousness is. God has assigned some things to serve you in that place of righteousness because every position has things that serve it. Amen. There are things that are in servitude to you. In that position. Supply is one of them. Supply is one of them. Amen. And so that which is designed to serve you in that position will enable you to carry out without hindrance or without distraction what you're assigned to do.
Amen.
You know, a CEO of a corporation, he's got things that work for him or systems or people that work for him in that position. And it's to keep him from being distracted to have to do all that.
Yes.
Like take the president of the United States. He's probably just dictating certain letters. He's not the one typing up all the letters, right? There's a lot of systems and a lot of people that are serving that position because he can't give all his time to do all that. And we don't expect him to be out mowing the yard of the White House.
Right?
That's not what his time is for. That's not what we're paying him for.
Right. Exactly.
Right? And see, you're in a position. I'm trying to get this back to righteousness. There's in the position you're in, there's things that are assigned to you in that position. It's wrong for you to be out doing certain things. I'll tell you one thing it's wrong to be doing is out chasing money. There's money assigned to you in that position. Amen. And people who are established in their righteousness, they don't serve needs. They don't say, well, there's a need. I gotta meet this need. No, I'm going to preach it now. They know that in that position of righteousness, everything that is needed is assigned to that position. In fact, they don't, if you understand righteousness and you're established in righteousness, you won't chase money. You realize money's chasing you. It's assigned to that position. Amen. You don't chase what's chasing you. Amen. Hallelujah. That position has a supply.
Yeah, that's so good. Yes, sir.
Righteousness has a supply.
Amen.
There are things that are assigned to peace to serve that. And one of the things he mentioned in Psalm 32 that's assigned to that position is peace. Right? One of the things assigned to that position is quietness, provision, angelic assistance.
Yeah.
Authority has been given you in that position.
Yes.
Amen. That's why it says they that are righteous, they reign in life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. I think you're familiar with this in the Amplified Classic. This will bring more light to this now. Ephesians chapter number 2, where it talks about, I'm going to read the Amplified Classic. You know this. How many of you are glad just for going back over something again?
Yes. Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 2, look at the Amplified Classic. I got to get open my classic here. And Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10 in the classic. For we are God's own handiwork. Ah, have we seen that before?
Yeah.
Righteousness is his handiwork. His workmanship. Woo, he created a work of art. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a work of art.
You're a masterpiece.
Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about your clothing style or your ability to match or your ability to make your hair look nice. We're doing better at that too, right?
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
But I'm talking about the new creation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a piece of handiwork right there. We're God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, look at this, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should live the good life.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Amen.
The good life is assigned to righteousness.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you take the paths that he's prepared ahead of time, and they are paths of righteousness, by the way, when you take those paths, he said, that's where everything you need is.
Amen.
Do you see that? There are things assigned to that path. There are things assigned to righteousness. Hallelujah. The path of the righteous goes brighter and brighter. Praise God. There's light. There's revelation. There's answers on that path.
Amen.
And notice here, on that path is supply. And on that path is the good life. Praise the Lord. This is just a little different, a little kind of teaching tonight. But that path has been prepared already. It's not something that you have to work to earn. It's already prepared. It's there for you. It's assigned to that path. It's assigned to righteousness.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so we know that the position of righteousness has things focused on it. Things there to serve that. Hallelujah. Now, so when you talk to God, when you go to prayer, don't go... in other words, go out of your righteousness.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't go to God out of who you are in the flesh.
All right. Yes.
You go to God over who you are in the flesh, you'll go to him remembering all your past failures of the flesh. You understand what I'm talking about? But see, you and I go to God from our standing, from our position of righteousness, from who we are in Christ, from the new man, the new nature. I heard an illustration one time. I'll use it here. If the CEO of a company is trying to get a hold of somebody to do something, they're going to identify his extension and pick up, right? But if he's down at the janitor's closet and he calls from the janitor's closet, it's going to be a different extension show up in the, you know, the office of whoever he's trying to call.
Yeah.
So they might think, I don't have time for the janitor right now. But when the CEO's extension shows up, hello, sir. Right? Because they're there to serve that position.
Yes. Come on.
That's what their job is in the company. They're serving the directions of the CEO or somebody in, you know, higher up in management or something. Right? So whenever you approach God, don't approach him from your janitor's closet. You know what I'm talking about? Don't approach him from who you are in the flesh.
Yes.
You know the cool thing about all of us? We might be a janitor in the flesh, but in the spirit, we're somebody. We're somebody. Let's just say it that way. We're somebody. We're the righteousness of God. And things answer us. We can just say, that's how a CEO does things. He says words. Listen, go down there and get me some lunch. Or go down there and pick up the guy that's coming in. I'm having a meeting with him. He's flying into the airport. Go pick him up. Just with words. He's giving directions. He's starting meetings. He's setting things in motion. He's setting new product lines in motion. He's, you know what I'm talking about? And he's just doing it with words.
Yes, come on.
Hallelujah. And so learn to do that. Learn to approach God, but not from your flesh. Learn to approach him from who you are in the spirit.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't approach him from your janitor's closet. Amen. Because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. The effectual fervent prayer of who we are in the flesh.
No.
No. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. Righteousness, they always pick up when righteousness calls. Heaven always says, yes, heaven here, answering righteousness.
Yeah.
And so I think when we first call, we say, I thank you for the blood that's made me the righteousness of God. And all of heaven says, we're all here to serve that position. Hallelujah. And you remember this passage, Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. I don't even know what time. Okay, we've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Luke 17, 5 through 10. This passage has always been intriguing to me. I've meditated on it, looked at it. I think it'd be just good for you to go look at it. Because sometimes you just quote it and people miss what it's saying. And to be honest, you know, for a while I kind of went back and forth on what this servant is that Jesus is talking about. By the way, before you look at verse number 5, you remember right before that he said, you know, it's impossible that offenses will come. And then he's talking about, you know, forgiving and so forth. Thou shalt forgive him in verse number 4. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Yeah. Notice that.
Yes.
He's talking in the context of what he's getting ready to say in verse number 6. He's going to say in the context of what they said, increase our faith. Okay.
Yes,
the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So he's talking about faith. Then he says in verse 7, without even hardly pausing, but which of you having a servant plowing or field, feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Okay, you read that from, you know, coming out of verses 4 and 5 and 6 especially into that verse 7, and you're like, he changed subjects. Now he's talking about a servant. Why did he change subjects? When actually he didn't change subjects. He's still talking about faith.
Yeah.
He's saying, your faith is a servant to you.
Yeah.
I gave you faith to serve you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's something else that righteousness has serving it.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Y'all following me?
Yes, sir.
Let's keep on reading, and I think it'll clear a little bit up here. In verse number 7 and 8, he talks about faith as a servant. And then he says, he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Or in other words, I don't think so. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Okay. Now, verse number 10 especially makes it look like we're the servants serving God, right?
Yeah.
And that's true. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But so I used to go back and forth. Is he talking about faith as the servant, or is he talking about us as the servant? And finally it dawned on me, yes to both.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes to both.
Yeah.
We serve God, and while we're serving God, something has been assigned to serve us.
Yeah.
Our faith has been given us to serve us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been given to serve us in that position of righteousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you still getting that?
Yes.
And so use your faith. Learn to use your faith to do things for you.
Yeah, that's so good.
Come on.
There's a lot of things that if you'll use your faith, you won't have to work so hard to get them done.
Amen.
And that's the privilege of those who are righteous.
That's really good.
That's your privilege. I said that's your privilege. There are a lot of things you're assigned to do, assigned to accomplish, that really, to be honest with you, you're not going to be able to do it on your own.
That's right.
But you got something working for you.
Amen.
And listen, this faith that we have, we've been given the measure of the divine kind of faith. This faith is divine in its source, so it will do supernatural things. It'll get you and me way beyond our natural abilities. I've had people who found out the size of our congregation here, and they've looked at what we're doing, and they say, this is a marvel.
Uh-huh.
All we're doing with the number of churches, the two churches, the Jabra Ministries, the aviation,
yeah.
All we're doing in a lot of different areas, all the daycare and everything we're doing. They say, that's super nice. I said, absolutely. It's way beyond me. In fact, every now and then, I start getting mental about things, and even the finance, I get mental, and I get so scared I have to back out. I'm like, oh. I'm not living there. Over. I'm going to live over here in righteousness. And I'm going to keep saying, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And that's the privilege of the standing that we all have in righteousness, is we decree a thing. And it's established unto us. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Told you it's going to get good. And so you've got something to serve you in this position. Learn to use your faith and put it to work for you. You don't have to go out and fight every battle. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. When doubt and unbelief comes to your door, send your faith. You just keep on sitting back there and just drinking your lemonade in the Word of God. I'm not talking about being lazy, but I'm talking about staying in rest, in quietness and assurance, because I'm the righteousness of God. And you send your faith to the door to answer it. Amen. Well, you don't know what the doctor said. Well, why did you get up and answer the door? You should have sent your faith to the door. Woo, I'm telling you, it's tight, but it's right. And so you don't have to fight every battle. Send your faith to do the fighting. Jesus, whenever they said Lazarus, Jesus told them that Lazarus is asleep, but he's going to rise again. They didn't understand. But finally, he had to tell them that he's dead.
Yeah.
But he said, and he just sent his faith ahead of him.
Yeah.
But he'll rise again.
Yeah.
I'm going to go wake him out of sleep. And then Mary and Martha came out and said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Your brother, and then he planted again. Your brother will rise again.
Yeah.
See, what's he doing? He's sending his faith out ahead of him.
Yes.
And it's doing something before he even gets there. Hallelujah. And right after that, he said some similar things about planting your faith. Praise the Lord. So learn to do the impossible by the faith of God, because that's the privilege of righteousness.
Yes.
Say that. Say he's talking about the privileges of righteousness tonight. Hallelujah. Don't hold conversations with unbelief. You have a higher privilege than that. You can send your faith to talk to unbelief.
Yes.
Amen. Send your faith to fear. You wake up in the middle of the night and bombarding thoughts come to your mind. What am I going to do because of some situation going on? What am I going to do? Where am I going to get the money? Where am I going to bombarding thoughts? Send your faith to that. Answer that from your position of authority and then go back to sleep.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's beneath my exalted position to go down and hold conversations with doubt and unbelief.
Amen.
I'm going to stay up in my high place, seated with Jesus, far above, far above. I'm not going to come down here into the valley of, oh no, and talk with unbelief. I'm going to stay up in righteousness and sing and say, oh joy, oh joy, oh joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, the glory which I had with thee before the world began, restore that back unto me. And really, Ephesians talks about it, what that is. He exalted him and raised him up to sit at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
The glory that he was had restored to him was the exalted position.
Yes.
But how many of you know he didn't go there alone?
Amen.
He went there bringing us to that same exalted position, which means he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. Amen. So in that exalted that exalted position is waiting on your words. That's what it's waiting on. Things don't happen because you're in that position. They happen because you send your words from that position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. That exalted position is waiting on my words. Hallelujah. So speak from that position and start giving decrees.
Yes.
And all sorts of things will start serving you.
Amen.
Angels will start serving you. Money will start serving you.
Yes.
Amen. And you'll rest in quietness and peace.
Yes. Yes.
Rather than running up. You know, the devil wants you and I to be frantic, running around putting out fires, running around putting out fires. Yes. Whenever you should stay up in your exalted place of righteousness, in rest and peace, and giving commands.
Yes.
And say, I command you to take your hands off of that.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm going back to sleep right now.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yes. But what if it doesn't work? See, now then you got down off your seat. That's, you don't have to do that in righteousness. You can stay up on your seat. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let them have dominion. The word image means duplication of kind. The word likeness means doing things the way we do it. Righteousness has the privilege of doing things the way God does it. And in the context of that, we have Genesis, the first three chapters, especially the first three chapters, first two really, but of the creation account, and you see how God does things. He says it. Let there be. And then it would always say, and there was.
Yes.
And how many of you don't think God screamed it?
Right.
Authority doesn't have to scream.
No. Come on. Nope.
If you as a parent are screaming at your children, it's because you don't know who you are.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord. I'll go over here. Amen. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Image means duplication of kind, meaning we're spirit beings. And if God were to show up here in full manifestation, which the glory would be too strong for this flesh to handle it, but you understand, if he were to show up, he wouldn't look like some other creation. He would look like a human being.
Yeah. Amen.
Not that he's human, but you know what I mean. We're made in his image, and then it says in his likeness. Likeness means how he does things. Literally, you look it up, how he does things. So you and I are to do things. In other words, let us make man in our image and let him have dominion. So dominion says things and they come to pass.
Amen.
That's the privilege of righteousness.
Amen.
That's how the righteous reign.
Yes.
And they rest.
Yes.
They say it out loud, and we rest.
We rest.
Hallelujah. Are you the righteousness of God? How many of you know no test or trial can change your exalted position?
Right, right, yes, yes.
You may feel like you're not in that position, but you are still the righteousness of God in Christ. The only thing Satan can do is try to change your knowledge of that position, but he can never change that exalted position. He can't knock you out of that exalted position. It wasn't. It was the blood that put you there. And you're there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's wrap this up by looking at Deuteronomy 28 here. We're almost done. Praise God. This gives you a different way to look at righteousness, right? And while you're going to Deuteronomy 28, do you remember in the Old Testament, there was two stories. We refer sometimes to two stories of two different people, two different ladies that got miracles, one in Elijah's ministry, one in Elisha's ministry. And the one under Elijah's ministry, that's in 1 Kings chapter number 17. You remember she was the one that got the miracle of the the multiplication of the meal. You remember?
Yeah.
So whenever he got over there, he said to her, because God had said, "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you."
Yeah.
He got over there and she didn't seem to know anything about it.
Yeah.
And so there was a multiplication of the bread or the meal and then the oil. And they say that lasted, most theologians think, between 9 months and a year and a half. In other words, it kept on multiplying every day.
Yeah.
Started out with nothing and remained constantly multiplying for a year and a half, feeding three people.
Yeah. Yes.
Elijah, the mother, and the son.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Well, then we read the story about how the boy died. And you read verse number 18, notice what she said. "What have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou coming to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son?" She had been living in a miracle, with a miracle for a year, let's just say 9 months to be conservative. She's living with a 9 month continuous miracle.
Yes.
Not just a one time, wow, that was a miracle, but a continuous daily miracle.
Amen.
Every day, putting God first every day. I believe she got up and made Elijah's cake first every day. Because how many of you know putting God first isn't just a one-time thing, it's a lifestyle. So she was doing that and seeing a miracle every day with the multiplication of the meal and the oil. But then this son dies, something goes wrong, something goes bad, and she instantly goes sin conscious. Did you notice what she said? "Are you come to call my sins to remembrance?"
Yeah.
This lady had been seeing a miracle for 9 months or whatever.
Yeah.
And she should now not be switching back to unbelief.
Right.
Thinking, what did I do? God, you're slaying my son.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody still getting this? How many of you know whenever tests and trials come, the enemy's going to come for your righteousness? He's going to come. He kind of try to turn you sin conscious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you don't have a revelation of who you are, whenever things go bad, things go south, bad reports come, and you instantly go sin consciousness, it's because you're not established in righteousness yet. I said, that's the answer for that. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But so learn not to just go that way every time something comes up.
Yeah.
You know, go negative, go failure-minded, go, you know, I'm so unworthy. I guess it's not going to work this time. You know what I'm talking about? Until you get to three more services teaching on righteousness, then you finally say, okay, I'm letting the devil harass and oppress my mind here.
Come on, sir.
Amen. We're catching this earlier and quicker. Anyway, so did you find, where did I tell you to go? Deuteronomy 28? Look at verses 1 and 2. This is just another verse we'll share with you before we wrap this up. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Some of my favorite verses. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." And notice this. "All these blessings shall come on thee," and what?
Overtake
thee. "If thou hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God." What does that mean if it's coming on you and overtaking you? That means it's chasing you.
Yes.
While you're walking the paths of righteousness, the paths which he's prepared ahead of time.
Yeah.
Something's chasing you.
Yes.
All these blessings. What are they? They're assigned to righteousness. That's why they're following you. That's why they're chasing you. And, you know, he said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The reason these things are following you and hanging out with you is because they're assigned to your position.
Yes.
They're assigned to that position of righteousness.
Amen.
And they're waiting on your words.
Oh.
Hallelujah. And so if they're coming on you and taking you, that means you're not focused on them. They're focused on you.
Yes.
People who are money-minded, they don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Well, we can't do that because we don't have the money. Righteousness can call it and tell it to come because it's been assigned for me to take that path of righteousness. And so therefore, on that path of righteousness, something's assigned to meet the need of that.
Yes. Amen.
And so I stand and I call for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So it's really beneath your exalted position to run around chasing needs or chasing what you need to meet needs. That's beneath you. There's a higher position. There's a higher privilege for you because of righteousness. And that is to take your seat and speak to it.
Yes.
And command it to come.
Yes.
Amen. Don't come down, you know, with the low life of chasing all that you need. Stay up in the high place and just speak to it and command it to change. Command it to come. Command this to stop. Command that to start. Amen. It's a higher privilege. Just like the president has a higher privilege than going out and mowing the White House yard. Because he's got things to do. He's assigned to do other things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness. And there's privileges in that place. Oh, good privileges. And I'm not going all sin conscious when something bad happens. I'm going to stay up in my righteousness consciousness, and I'm going to, because the other woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4 talks about the other widow woman where she was not sin conscious. She perceived when the man of God came. She said, this is a righteous man of God. We're going to do this. Remember that? And then whenever her son died, you can read both cases, both the son died. You read her son died. The Bible talks about somebody said, what'd she do? The Bible said whenever whenever they told her that the son died, they put her in the prophet's room and then they shut the door. In other words, she blocked that out. She's not looking at what the failure is. She's looking at, I'm accepted to have a miracle. And when she got to the prophet, they said, is everything okay? She said, all is well. In other words, she's got her answer in her mouth. She's got her miracle in her mouth. Not, I don't know what I owe my sin. My sin's coming home. You know, my chickens are coming home to roost kind of thing. No. Righteousness doesn't start talking about how, you know, my chickens are coming home to roost. Amen. Country folk in Iowa know what chickens coming home to roost means. Hallelujah. It stands up and say, no, all is well because I'm seated in this position. I'm accepted and I can rule and reign in this place. And whatever I ask the Father, like James 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Hallelujah. So don't pray from the janitor's closet. Like we said, pray from your place of authority. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I said, isn't that good?
Yes.
Isn't that better than just thinking of all your failures and expecting the worst?
Yeah.
One thing, I don't know, it was probably like, you can stand up with me. Probably about 3 or 4 months ago, probably maybe even longer than that, the Lord just began to deal with me about this word success. Success. It's in Joshua 1:8. Whatever you do will prosper and you'll have good success.
Yes.
Right? Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, how many of you know God hasn't called you and I to fail? He's called us to success. Whatever our assignment is, he wants us to succeed in that. Amen. And I'm worthy to succeed. I'm accepted to be successful. Praise God. Does that make any sense to you? It probably means more to me than just saying that means to you because of what he's been dealing with me about. Praise the Lord. So whatever you put your hand to, you're qualified to be a success at it.
Yes.
Not a failure, not you know, that's failures are for the unrighteous.
Yes.
Righteousness has a success assigned to it.
Yes.
And everything that's needed for that success is focused on that position.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Father. We love you. Praise God. Father, we thank you the word found a home in good soil tonight. Praise God. Father, we drink in this truth like a dry land drinks in the rain, and Father, like a flower that drinks in the sunshine and opens up to the sunshine. Father, we thank you for this truth. We take it in. We thank you. It'll bring forth good harvest in our lives. And Father, we kick out all unworthiness, all sense of guilt because of past failures. Father, it's all under the blood. In the name of Jesus. It's under the blood. And we thank you, Father, it stays there while we walk on clean and free from our past in a place of right standing because we put it under the blood in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And we are successful. We thank you for all that's assigned to this place of righteousness to bring us forward on the path you've called us to walk. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So it's a little different from the way we usually approach righteousness, but I like to look at it this way sometimes. Yeah. Praise God. It's a position.
Yeah.
And things are focused on that position to serve that position. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't have to chase things. They chase me.
Yeah.
And I can call to them. Yeah. Praise the Lord.